In this second part, we're going to consider this famous text in Isaiah 9, 1 to 6, which is the one most people come away with after midnight mass. You know, a child is born to us, a son is given to us. It's so beautiful. And it's part of this whole Isaiah concentration. Isaiah himself, probably, in all these texts. 7 we've already seen, 9 we're going to see, 11 we'll see, and then there's 8. This child, this fruit of a woman's womb, upon whom the glory and the power of God rest, all as a foreshadowing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this second one. We have 7, now we have 9, and then we have 11 later on. Okay, this one goes then, you see, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. Now this is 8:23, it's introducing 9:1-6. Difficult from a commentary point of view to know what to do. But it looks as though it is really meant in its edited form. Remember, Isaiah had disciples who were not unenlightened men, and who continued the tradition of Isaiah even as they edited his works and put them together. Why did they edit his works? Because they knew this was the Word of God, and that it should be saved for the posterity of the people. But what he's talking about is realities that have yet to take place. And so these words should be edited, and there are, if this was a course in Isaiah, we could do that. Some of these words we have here are picked up again in the late chapters of Isaiah. It's an editing. It's to hold the whole disparate book together, and it does. It's one book. Okay. So, historically, he's talking about the fact that even up here in the north, the Syro-Ephraimite plot has begun to go, and there's been a victory. Okay. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing as they rejoice before you with the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. Interesting. The examples of joy that he gives. You know, a good harvest, dividing spoils after a victory. They're rejoicing. Why? For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed, as at the day of Midian. What another great victory. And so, we have this here. This joy. Every boot trampled in battle, every cloak rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the flames. This astonishing victory, this throwing off the yoke of this Assyrian Ephraimite captivity or oppression. Why? Because a child is born to us. A son is given to us. And who is he going to be? Upon his shoulder, dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace, or in another translation, which I prefer, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Look at the dignity, the power that rests on him. This child, he's going to grow up and throw off all yokes His dominion, he has dominion now, is vast and forever peaceful. From David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And so, this second time that probably now the disciples, hearing echoes of that prophecy of given to Achaz, this other prophecy now, there's going to be a child born who's going to throw off the yoke. Now, as this goes on, remember Israel looked forward to all the nations streaming to Zion to receive instruction in Torah and live the will of God. Israel would be the teacher, the instructor, the governor of all the nations, and they would all belong to God's people. So the beginning of this is this child, you know, conceived by the Alma, now born. Now this is, you know, they're deep theologians and mystics, and they're seeing the undertow of these prophecies. And so they're proclaiming it. And they stick this other one here in the proclamation of the cessation of the bondage to Assyria that the northern kingdom was held in. Now, as it all works out, the southern kingdom also falls. So people are nourishing themselves on these things in the exile. They're nourishing these things and getting them. You see? So the text starts where it says, you see, Ki yeled yulad lanu Ben Natan Lanu, a child, a yeled. Yalad means to give birth. So it's a little child. A child is born to us. See? Yeled Yulad Lanu. And a son is given to us. So this king is a gift from God. He's going to lead the people. And there's going to be peace. Now, you know, we have this type of a prophecy back in Isaiah 2, if you remember, when they're going to, see if I can find it easily. You know, in our Bibles, the prophecies come just before the New Testament. Whereas in the Hebrew Bible, all the writings are between us. The book ends with that, the writings. Here it is now. He shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let how we live be an explosion of light so that the whole world will have hope. Do you know, until the incarnation, nobody thought of wars ending. Wars were like tornadoes and earthquakes, and they just happen. They're always going to happen. It was only, you know, and that took until the League of Nations, the dream inspired by Christ that there could be peace, that there could be this absence of hostility and fear and suffering. We only have to remember the scenes, women coming out of their house weeping, holding a dead baby, you know, end of that, the end of war, the end of hatred, the end of fear. You see, it's a dream because Jesus is Lord. It's possible. But it has to happen through a recognition of Jesus as Lord. It has to happen that way. And so, this prophecy, see, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. A child is born to us. A son is given to us. By whom? By God. And upon his shoulder, that is where he carries the sign of his kingship. You see, dominion rests. And they'll give him names. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. You know, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Tsar Shalom. You see, this reality. Now, when we look at the world, when we celebrate Christmas Eve Mass, we're not going to find a world like this. If we celebrate with faith, we will advance the peace of the world. Jesus Christ, in and through the church, to whom he will be present in a new way, you see, will be present. There could be peace. Where was I? Oh, I was coming out of one of those places in the airport in Jerusalem. They have these people who search you very thoroughly, open up your whole suitcase and all that. So I was at the second one, the searcher, big, tall, young man, lovely man, and he was in the Sahal. He was in the army. He had his army uniform on, but he was, this day he was doing this, and I was dressed in my collar. He's Jewish. He finished searching me, and I stepped out of the booth, and he came out. And he said, "Sir," I said, "Yes." He said, "Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you praying for peace? We could have peace, you know." And it came from the depth of his heart. And I thought, that's humanity. We could have peace, you know, if we would only turn to the Lord and be satisfied with what he gives us. Trust him. Look forward, you see, to everything he's going to give us. So this is a marvelous text. It's a prophecy of what could yet happen. Will happen when the Lord ends history. There will be peace, you know.